Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Extra Features Podcast. Today, where I have a very interesting short that everybody should check out. I have the director, Grayson Crastron, here, and his short, The Running Man. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So, let's start at the beginning. Was this always going to be an animated short? Because it really feels like it could have gone many ways.
Yeah, I have a crazy long story for how this short film came to
Let's
be.
do
It
it.
actually started out as a tattoo.
What?
Yeah, for
is
sure.
this?
It actually started out as a, yeah, it's so it's on me right now.
I gotta see.
Hold on,
Okay,
can you see
guys,
it or
he's
is it blurred
not
out?
really. It's a little fuzzy, but he's showing me a tattoo.
Yeah, let
So
me try to turn
we'll
on the
go
back.
with it. I'll believe him.
Yeah, just imagine a tattoo on the arm. But
Okay,
no,
I
yeah.
want to
So the
start
story
right
how it.
there. Whoa, whoa! You got a tattoo. Where did the tattoo come from? You
Yes.
can't just start there and not.
Yeah. So thinking all the way back to how it started, back in early 2024, I was working a job at a hospital that my friend hooked me up with. And I was working there the whole time, and not in a selfish way, but I knew that I always wanted to do film. I'm 21 years old right now, so back then, you know, I was 19-ish, 20. I never had any film equipment. The only film equipment that I had was my iPhone and you know, a little iPhone gimbal that I had. And I was cool with using that, but I wanted to kind of quit the jobs that I was working so that I could do film full time. You know, I was thinking freelance, maybe I could do weddings, get a little money off of some equipment that I like using, but I didn't have the equipment in the first place. So I was like, I got to figure out something. So during that time, like I was going through a rough patch because of something unrelated, but everything started hitting me in this way where I started to lose my identity, where I was like, shoot, if I'm not using film equipment and I'm not making weddings or doing things that can't happen to make me money, then am I a real filmmaker? If I'm not making films right now, and if I'm going through writer's block and stuff like that, which I was, then, you know, just who am I as a filmmaker? Do I deserve to be a writer? Do I deserve to be a filmmaker? Which I think, you know, everybody goes through. But when that was hitting me, my idea that kept popping up into my head when I was working that job, I kept telling myself, you know, I'm going to quit this job one day and I'm going to figure out something to do film in a way where I can make shorts, but then also make me money, whether it's a business or something, you know, videography related. And then I had this little character in my head that would keep popping up every time I thought of putting in my 2 weeks in that job.
Sorry, is that the tattoo in your arm? Is the little character?
Yeah.
Okay,
Can
you
you kind of
guys
see
can't
it?
see it. I would, if you could show it to the camera, I mean, they'll see it on
For
YouTube. If
sure.
not, I'll let them know that, yeah, there is a little character in the short all the time.
Yeah, so, you know, from there, that character in my head kept popping up. At the time, he didn't have a name, but every time I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna quit this job. Ooh, I'm gonna make my own money." During that darkness, when he popped up into my head, he would, you know, like Sonic the Hedgehog. I kind of imagined that character just, you know, kind of running, just endlessly running. I didn't know what the hell it meant. You know, he's had a couple sweat beads dripping off his head, and he was just endlessly running into something, into what? Who knows? But from that, I called him the running man because he was always constantly running. And I took it to be a sign when I got closer to quit because that's the only time that he popped up into my head. I eventually took it as a sign to be like, you know what? Now's the day. Put in your 2 weeks. On the day that you quit, I'm going to hire my artist friend, my friend who does art, to come up with a design for it. And then I'm going to get it tatted on my arm in a direction where he's running off of my arm, which means he's, you know, running into a direction of the unknown, which means I'm running into the direction of the unknown, into whatever I need to be running into, whether it's a short that I'm scared of making, or making a business, or making something happen that I need to just run in order to figure out, you know? So that was the
Okay.
thought process, and
Let's back this up a lot. You're 21
for
years
sure.
old. You quit your job. You're working at hospitals. You must be making decent money.
Yeah, it was
Are
pretty
your
good money.
parents okay with this?
Oh yeah. Well, they didn't know until I got it, so
Okay. That's fair.
so they
I
were
meant
okay
quitting
with
the
it.
job. I thought quitting the job is what I meant. And so,
Yeah, they were fine with it.
this is your first short, or have you made other films from this?
So I have a previous narrative short called Joseph's Clarity, which I finished in 2024. And then before that was my first short film ever. It was a mini documentary on my hula team that I was in called Keikahulu Hula Studio. So this is my
Okay.
third short.
So you are doing stuff in this field now.
Yes.
Now, the important question is, I know shorts don't make money. I mean, we all love them, but they don't make money.
Of
Did you
course.
find a career in this field yet?
Oh yeah. So now, this is after the Running Man, everything like that. This year, I started developing my own company called Delusional Palace. It's a mini documentary and blog article production company for young up and coming dreamers of Hawaii.
I love it. So good. So
And I
you've
got a
got
tat for
direction.
that one
Look at this guy. He's got two tats
too.
already. I still have none.
So
Probably never going to happen, but that's okay. That's my
I'm
choice.
gonna get extra features on my forehead next after this
Oh,
ends.
please do not. Please do not. Please. If you need something on more than anywhere else in your body, I'll be fine with. But if you really your forehead, well, you know what? I appreciate the promotion. So go ahead, I guess. Your
Yeah,
parents are going to be
never
hunting
gonna
you
have me
down. No, I can come on
on
anytime. You're going to have extra
again.
features. I'll have your picture right beside mine on the site. Let's start at the beginning. So, was this ever going to be maybe a live action? I thought maybe it could be a live action at times.
It's funny because when I was thinking of what I wanted to do with it, I wrote the story in a day pretty much. I locked myself in the room, or I locked myself in my room the day that I quit, after I put in the 2 weeks. Immediately from the job, I went to the tat shop. I got it tatted on my arm, and then I got home and I was like, okay, I have this thing on me for the rest of my life, but I haven't written a short film about it. I've done shorts on stuff completely unrelated to things, that are on me, but this is going to be on me for the rest of my life, and I'm not doing a film. I'm not writing anything about it. I should probably make something out of it. So I wrote everything that I was feeling at the time, the disconnecting of my character. I wrote that into what I was going through. I basically wrote a biography of myself, but I didn't know it was. I was just, kind of writing out loud into this narrated story about not me going through something, but a runner going through something where he had friends where he was drifting apart and, going through things that people go through when they change. So that was the kind of energy that, that started the whole story. And then after I had that down, I just kind of put two and two together and I was like, oh, it's a stick man that's running. And that's what I see in my head. Maybe I know how expensive animation can be. It is not cheap. When I looked online, my idea was to try and find an animator who would be willing to do 1 minute of the whole entire 8 minute script that we had to make it a personal clip of the whole thing. So not, it would just kind of be like a part of the short film, just for me to have. It would never go to the festivals and stuff like that. But from there, sorry, did you want to insert anything?
Not yet.
Okay. So from there, when I had that 1 minute short idea in mind, I was working on a budget of 200, 300 bucks left because that was the amount of money that I had after I quit my job. Because right after I quit, I got the tat. But then, oh yeah, I also invested all of my money into what would become my film equipment now, like my camera that I use, my lens and stuff that I still use to this day, even for my company. You can't see it, it's blurred out. But yeah, I spent about 5K on all the equipment, and then I had about, $300 left. So that was my budget I was working with for the animation, which, not gonna happen. So I took that budget and I started looking on this website called Fiverr. Are you familiar with it?
Nope.
Yeah. So it's this kind of freelance website where anybody can go on to try and find online art related services. So if they need a poster, if they need graphics, if they need editing, if they need music production, anything. So I, typed in animation and I found a few guys. They had incredible work, but it costs a lot and it wasn't anything that I could work with. Eventually, I landed on this one guy named Tico, and I knew I was way out of his ballpark in terms of money, but I was willing to, try and see if we could come up with anything, throw a dog a bone if I pitched the 1 minute thing to him and be like, maybe 300 bucks can give me a 2 seconds animation. And, I texted him and he fired back like 2 hours later and he said, do you have a script for it? And I said, I do. He was like, he seemed kind of sketched out where he was like, it seems kind of fishy, but he fired back and he was like, okay, send over the script and I'll see what we can do. So I wasn't expecting to get an answer back or anything from that. I sent him the script. A couple hours later, he fires back and he just texts, holy shit, this script is amazing. And I was just like very flattered. I didn't know what that meant, you know, like where that was going to go. I was just thankful. And then he texts back and he says, "Would you be open to doing a full collaboration on making this short?" And I was like, "Are you serious? I, you know, my budget is so low." And he was like, he basically said that on Fiverr, it's only a lot of corporate things coming in that he wasn't really passionate about, but he was going through something at the time, kind of similar to what me and the running man that I wrote into it was going through. And he was like, "You know, I'm really connecting with this shit. Am I allowed to swear in here?"
Yeah, of course.
Got you. He's like, "I'm crazy about this shit. Would you be willing to do a full collaboration on it?" And I was like, "For real?" And he was like, "Yeah, you know, I really like the story. I want to try and make it happen with you." So yeah, that was pretty much it. We was working on a budget of $300 for this whole animation, but everybody, yeah,
Wow,
thinks
you got a
otherwise.
deal. Deal,
Yeah,
buddy,
deal
raise
of a
your
lifetime.
prices. I'm just telling you, raise your prices. Okay, let's break this down a bit more. Who is the narration? Where did you find your narrator and why did you choose them?
Yeah, so right after I found the animator Tico, or his you know, his full name is Ticon. He's an incredible animator on this film. On that same website, right after I commissioned to start the animation, on the same website, I was looking for voice actors on there. And I just had in my mind, you know, when I hear narration in my mind, I usually hear a British, old British dude or a young British girl. I don't know why. That's just what comes into my mind as I was reading this story, you know. So I looked online and I found this voice actress that really like struck a nerve with me, and her name was Marina. And incredible. She has a cool background and like plays and stuff, so it looked like she would do a good job. So I just hit her up, you know, told her the same thing. She asked me what my budget was. I told her a total of 1 cent, and she was like, "Let's do it." No, I'm just kidding. You know, we figured out a budget, but yeah. So that kind of came to be after that. And she sent back the first draft of how it sounded. And I was like, "Oh, holy shit, this is incredible." Like it brought it to life, you know. The
Okay, we gotta go. Okay, how long did it take you to write the script? You haven't told me that yet.
When I locked myself in the room, it took about 4 hours.
Okay, so 4 hours of script, you've eaten, you've dissolved, then you go to Fiverr. Do I have the right thing?
Yep, Fiverr,
Oh,
Fiverr.
Fiverr, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You put up on Fiverr, 2 hours later, this guy gets a hold of you, blah, 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 got that. Now, he's got the script. How long did it take him to do all the animation?
So we worked on this for about 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, back and forth because he lives in Georgia, the country Georgia, and I live in Hawaii. You know, you already know the time zones, right? So every other day we're pretty much working back and forth, just jumping on Zoom calls constantly. You know, he's asking me, him as the animator, me as a director, but him also as the cinematographer and the character designer and everything visually on this project. I'm just the writer and the visionary of it, but he's the one who had to draft, you know, the animatics for the cel shading and make sure that the backgrounds were right. And every meeting, he was always like, you know, "Hey, is this working out well for you? Is this working out how you want it?" Also, if something didn't look that good to me, then he would try and tweak it to see if we could come to a compromise, you know. But yeah.
Okay, now you got the script. I mean, the guy's running all the time. I get that. Now you pick certain places. He stops at a bar, he goes to parties, he's sitting in his bedroom. Were there other options, or those are just what the animator thought worked best?
It was what was in the script, and we both agreed on that would stay in the film straight from the script.
Okay.
Also, sorry if I could chime in.
Go ahead, of course.
Yeah, also a lot of the lines, because it was the first draft that I wrote, it wasn't even formatted like correctly, the script. It was literally just like line to line to line, no separate paragraphs or anything. It's like one big list of words. And because I never went into second draft or redrafted it, a lot of the vocab is wrong. And the grammar. So that's why, like, I would skip over certain letters on the keyboard because I was just trying to, you know, flow of conscience. So when Marina did the voiceover, she was like, "Okay, do you want me to tweak certain words or just leave it how it is?" And I was like, "You know, just read it how it is." When she sent it back, you can hear, if you really pay attention in the film, I shouldn't be saying this out loud because it ruins it. But if you listen back, you can hear sometimes where the voiceover will go over a certain word. Or it'll say like an extra S in the word that's not supposed to be there, or it'll, you know, it won't have the S with the apostrophe on certain ones. And it's like,
Well, I gotta tell you, I probably didn't notice because half the time I'm listening and taking notes and pausing. So little inconsistencies I don't really notice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for
I'm more
sure.
of focusing on that kind of stuff. So maybe reviewers are doing that too, because just because
Yeah.
that's our habit of just hearing things a certain way and just going, okay,
Yeah.
that's the way the character talks. Just accept it. I did notice nobody has any faces. Was that on purpose?
Yeah, I really wanted it to be focused on the running man's thoughts, because kind of to him in that pat that rough patch that he was going through, the thoughts, meaning everybody else, was kind of irrelevant to him and what he was going through until his very own voice when it came out at the end, and that's when his mouth appears. Yeah, that's the only time we ever see a mouth, or not even eyes, just the semblance of a
Yeah,
mouth
I
on
know. It's
anyone.
just more
So
like a little drawing kind of thing.
yeah, exactly.
Now, you said you did a hula hoop documentary. Oh, he's going to show me a hula hoop. Now, I'm just saying, I didn't see, I thought maybe there'd be a hula hoop in here or something, which there
No,
is.
not hula hoop, hula.
Oh, hula,
Hula
dancing.
dance, yeah.
I'm
So
sorry.
in no, you're fine. And yeah, so in Hawaiian culture, hula halau, that's what we call it. So hula halau translates to hula school. And I was in that for about 6 years, and I left in
Wow.
2023 to pursue film full time.
I thought for sure being Hawaiian, there might be a little bit of that Hawaiian culture in here, but there's nothing that I saw.
Yeah, that's something that I was asking myself a lot about at the start of my career. Start of my career, that was only like 2 years ago,
It's okay. You got to start somewhere.
but you know, a lot of I think a lot of cultures in general, we tend to focus a lot on does this film feel cultural enough? Does it have
Right.
enough cultural things in it? When really my favorite directors, Ari Aster, Stanley Kubrick, you know, the best writers out there, Vince Gilligan, they really hammer down the story first. Is the writing good? Do I feel connected to the characters and their journey in it? So that's what I pride myself on stories with. Yeah, I have a lot of stories that are Hawaiian focused and have Hawaiian things in there and local things, but I think that the best way to try and get that across personally is to drive the story first. And if that cultural thing follows along with it, then let it. But if not, if this story is just about a stick man who runs and goes through identity crisis, then that's what it is, you know? But
Would you
everything has its
like,
place.
can you? I felt I could read this even deeper than you're giving me, even here. That this is a story about everybody trying to find out what they're looking for. Like, you could even argue this guy's looking for the American dream. I mean, if we're going to get deep into this, let's go deep.
For
I
sure.
mean, you are taught in high school about the American dream. You're American, you have no choice, you hear about it all the time. Now, subconsciously, maybe you're not thinking about the American dream, but I'm going to ask you. Do you think the running man is looking for the American dream?
I think the running man's looking for a purpose.
Right. Isn't that the American dream?
Sure. If you want to phrase it that way.
I'm asking you. You're the filmmaker. I'm not.
I think that the American dream is subjective. And you know, not
Absolutely.
everybody has the same American dream. So it can be phrased, it your American dream could be making this podcast up to 1 million subscribers. Maybe you want 1 trillion views one day. That's your American dream. My American
Wow,
dream
I'll be long gone by then.
My American dream, the running man's American dream, could be to not feel shitty one day. You know, the whole time in the film he's chasing just to not be depressed. So I think I don't think a lot of people think like, oh, what is my American dream? But maybe just like, what do I need to feel good? If that makes
That could be
sense.
your American dream then, right? To
For
feel
sure.
good.
For
Okay,
sure.
you use a lot of music throughout this short. I mean, a lot of music. Where'd you get it from?
So originally we had I wanted to have a composed actual soundtrack with strings. I'm a huge fan of strings. I love actual scores and things like that. But now I was down to a budget of -$1. So you
Yeah,
know, I had
I
to
was
make that
about to
work.
say that. I know you have no money now.
Yeah, so I had a couple jobs coming through, a couple loose end jobs where I had a little bit more money. And I really wanted to try and make that work with the soundtrack. So I found a dude on Fiverr who was down to make it work. But things with time constraints and scheduling, with the amount of music that I was asking for, It would have been six so songs throughout the whole film, so it didn't really work out. But then from there, I was kind of panicking, talking with Tico, the animator, and I was like, fuck, what do I do? You know, like we gotta adapt in a way and pull through, but I don't know how to do that. I'm not a composer, you know? So he was like, well, you're an editor, right? And I was like, yeah, I do editing, you know? And he was like, do you use Artlist? You know, are you familiar with Artlist, the website?
Nope.
So Artlist is one of the stock music websites that are available
Oh,
online. There's
okay.
Artlist, Musicbed, Adobe Music that
Tons
people
of them.
put in their film. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I do use Artlist, but I don't know if the songs are up to scale on there, you know, to be able to use in this film. And we just agreed to be like, you know what, we got to do something. So I the next couple months, the animation was finished at that point, but for the next couple months, there was no music or anything in it. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, how to come up with music for it. So I looked on Artlist a lot. I kept finding tracks. Like a lot of days, how it goes in the editing bay is just finding songs and you're like, ooh, I think that's something. And you try to place it on a timeline and, you know, play it back and you're like, no, that's not it. And you just get frustrated a lot. But then you always come back to it and you got to wait for things to kind of fall into place. Like, you know, if this thing isn't working out today, then maybe I put it off to the side, I come back to it tomorrow, and then I try again. So that's how the music ended up coming together. We had one song that was able to be composed from the guy that we hired on originally. So that's the song that you hear in the middle as he's there's that one scene where the voiceover's going and she's like you know, she's talking about his depression and stuff
Yes.
where everybody around them kind of turns black and he just kind of sits down for like
Yes, on the
10 minutes
couch.
straight. Yeah. And that part is the part with the original strings. So that's the
Oh.
only originally composed part in the whole entire film. The rest of it was all composed from pre-established music libraries, stock music libraries that were out there on Artlist, which I put together for the soundtrack, which that's what makes up the soundtrack of the film.
Okay, you didn't design the character. Some guy called Sam designed him.
Yeah, so Sam Guerrero, he's my really good friend from my old job that I used to work at. He's a awesome artist. And that's the same dude that I told you that I hit up and asked to draw the sketch of the running man in the first place. So that's where that character design came from. But he was just the designer of that design, you know, the original design
Right.
of the running man. But then after that, Tico, the animator, took that, doing all the sketches and pre-production and kind of ran with it, you know, and put his own twist on it. He's the one who added those big ass boots on the bottom of his feet. Because he heard that it was inspired by Sonic, and you know, Sonic has those big red boots on, right? So,
He does.
yeah, so that's where the whole character design fell into place.
What do you have on store next? Are you going to be more shorts? Are we doing more full-length things? Or you're not there yet?
So, with my company, Delusional Palace, I always have shorts in the work. What we do is mini documentaries and blog articles, and then also mini reels designed for social media, three per client. And then also a blooper reel on top of that for every client. So we have one that drop one, I call it a Delusional Palace spot. So that's the combination of everything per person dropping every 2 weeks. So I'm always making new mini documentaries and blog articles. You can check it out online at delusionalpalace.com or anywhere that you want to find. Just look up Delusional Palace. You'll probably see it on IG or TikTok or YouTube, wherever we're on there. But yeah, so I always have mini documentaries and those in the works. And then, I also have YouTube videos. I have a YouTube channel called Directed by GK, where I do a completely different thing. I play this character called GK, where it's literally just me, but a more accentuated version of myself and what I'm going through that wears shades. So when the way to distinguish us is there's the short films me, so Grayson GK Kostron that makes short films, like the mainstream short films that go into festivals and things like that. There's the YouTube Directed by GK or GK version. With the shades on, and then there's Delusional Palace, which is my business, and yeah, but I have all of those three in the works at all times, so it's kind of crazy because I'm going to school right now as well. So yeah,
Oh, so
but in
you've
terms
gone
of
back to school for
yeah,
film?
oh, so right now I'm actually at Kapi'olani Community College, which is a community college. I'm trying to get my pre you know pre-ed, my AA before I can transfer to film school. So just so that I can have everything cleared out the way and be done with it before I transfer to film school. But yeah, that's where everything's at right now.
Okay. It's the time for fun
But I
questions.
always have things being developed, so.
That's great. It's good to be busy. Your favorite film?
Forrest Gump, easy.
That's easy.
Oh yeah.
Okay, how many times have you seen Forrest Gump?
Six. I want to say six. Six or seven.
You're still young. That's still a new movie.
Wow.
You say you have lots of favorite directors. You named them during the thing. Are there some directors' films you still haven't seen and need to watch?
Yes. So Ari Aster, he just had that movie Eddington come out. It's his first
Yes.
like drama. I heard that Bo's,
I've
or
seen
I know
it.
that Bo's Afraid is kind of psychological.
Yep.
But how was Eddington? You said that you saw it?
I will talk about it after air. I'm going to say
Got
I
it.
have seen it. I'll leave it at that. I'm not saying
I gotta
anything.
watch it. I gotta watch it.
Actually, if you do listen to the Extra Features podcast, we did have a full review on it.
Then I'll
So there you
watch that
go.
as soon as I
I'll
finish
promote my own thing on there, but I'm not going to say any more on this.
it.
It's your
For sure.
interview.
Yeah.
My last question is, Hawaii, do they have Hawaii? I don't have to say it right, Hawaii. Do they have different movie snacks than they do in America?
Sorry, one more
Mainland.
time.
Do you have different movie snacks? Obviously popcorn and stuff like that, but is there a Hawaiian snack that's different?
You know, actually, my first job was at a movie theater. So thinking back, I remember like the little cubbies where the different snacks went into. So I can answer that for you. So in Hawaii, we have kind of have all the basic things, but the things off the top of my head that I do remember that are different. Have you ever heard of Kaki Mochi?
No, never.
Have you ever heard of Mochi Crunch?
Nope.
Okay, so you ever heard of rice crackers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So imagine like rice crackers, like dry rice crackers, if it was kind of not crushed down into powder, but like broken up into tiny pieces.
Yes,
And then,
I get it.
they put soy sauce all over it, they dry it out again, and then they put little tiny bits of seaweed on it. You take that and then you sprinkle it all over your popcorn. Oh my
Ooh,
God,
this
it's the
sounds good.
freaking thing, man. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah, we have that, and then we have another topping, like a more finer topping called Hurricane Mix. So it's optional. You can buy that if you want in the theaters, but it's like it comes in this like little purple bag. I mean, it's still expensive in Hawaii. I'm pretty sure all the prices are jacked up more than it is in the mainland in Hawaii. But you buy a bag of that, you buy a bag of Hurricane. I like Hurricane better than the furikake mix. So you take that, you pour it all over your popcorn, and it's kind of like Kaki Mochi, but without the rice crackers. It's just like little bits of sesame seed and more
Ooh.
seasonings
Oh,
stuff.
I see. I'd
Yeah. Oh,
like
it's
that
so
better.
good. Yeah, and you put that all over the popcorn, and it's all over everything. So you really get
Now,
like.
after work, I presume you guys put butter on your popcorn. That's
Yeah.
normal, I guess. Or nobody
Oh,
does. And they'd rather go with the seasonings.
no. We put the butter, and then you put the stuff on top. You put the toppings on
Okay.
top after that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your time, and you have a great day.
Thank you so much. You as well. Thank you so much for having me on.